No, I'm leaving.
You should go.
I don't need more talk. I can't believe the eighth pitcher is on the grand slam. Yeah. Hey, they got a lot further than anybody ever thought they would. Youngest team in baseball. But the Cardinals. Of all teams. Thank you. Yep, I watched the game. 2-0. Calvin got a shutout.
Struggle, honey, you won't let us down.
being a fat cat, and I left out of here hungry. But we're doing that Wednesday night. We'll see. Jonathan's supposed to help me out, but he's too busy working right now, I can tell. But Wednesday night, we're doing that. We're having walleye, and we're having Micah chapter 3, aren't we, Beth?
Four.
No, chapter 4. We've already done chapter 3, so we're in chapter 4. What's our memory verse? Micah 6:8. Anybody remember? Come on. What does the Lord require of you? Yeah, you got Jonathan's words. Love. Love mercy. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God, right? So that's Micah 6:8. But today, as I mentioned, Sanctus Real will be there this afternoon. It's going to be a busy day, so keep them in prayer. What's next? Fall conference. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. Actually, next week. Yeah, so Friday night is the youth event. Saturday will begin with a continental breakfast. And then I'll be participating. The ladies will be gathering for a panel discussion. And then immediately following that, the men will be gathered for a panel discussion. Me, myself, and a few others of us will be talking about women in ministry. You want to know where the women fit into this scheme? We're going to have a great discussion. And then Sunday afternoon is a guest speaker. Many of you, I've passed out personal invitations for an event coming up, and I'm going to leave it at that. If you haven't gotten one, see Beth. The time's changed a little bit on that. So if you've gotten one from me, it's for a certain individual, and I'll just leave it at that because she may be watching. That's all I didn't. So leave it at that. Pantry's open. Just see Beth. She knows what I'm talking about. Pantry's open. Other things. We got prayer requests. Anything I'm missing? Pastor appreciation. I appreciate me too. No, I'm kidding you. I do bring greetings. I told you from the state. Great things are happening. Josh is taking over as the associate state pastor, so a lot of great things to come from the church. We're excited about going in November 1st and 2nd for the General Assembly of the Church of God in Michigan. And, surprisingly enough, a lot of the national churches and associations are trying to mirror what Michigan is doing. Michigan's alive and well, and we're grateful for what God's doing. So let's worship the Lord together. A couple of songs you guys know, whether you want to stand or sit, whatever you're comfortable with. I try to pick a couple here that you should know the words to and sing along with us. It's a little modern version, so.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully it comes out right.
Oh,
I'm our minds, the prayer request. Go ahead, sir. Bulletin's got quite a few things in there for prayer request. Continue to keep. Judy had a test on Thursday, and from what I understand, the test went well, but she's got to go back for some other additional tests. So she needs our prayers. I'm sure she's probably reeling from that test, and it's always a fun one to go through. But we want to keep them in prayer. Charlotte and Shannon, we continue to keep Suzanne in our prayers. Jonathan's cousin John in our prayers. A multitude of needs. There's lots of things that we continue to pray for, and the bulletin has a lot of those in there. Pray for Brent and the whole crossing today in their celebration. Keep Mark and Evans Wood and the conferences and a lot of the things coming up. Oh yeah, our daughter Lori is having surgery on Thursday, both wrists for carpal tunnel at the same time. So that is going down to be supermom. Helping her daughter, helping the grandkids, helping my son-in-law. So yeah, that'll be fun. But to keep her in prayer, multitude of needs, just we ask God to supersede. Keep the Church of God in our prayers. A multitude of people from Kenya to South Carolina to North Carolina, all over. Keep the people in Florida in prayers. One of my friends at work texted me yesterday and said that his mom and dad got their home got messed up with the first Hurricane Helene, and then with Hurricane Milton or the storm Milton, it just devastated their house. So they have no place to go home to. They normally spend months here and months there, as Dave and Rita do as well, and yours has been spared, hey? Well, that's good. We're going to praise the Lord for that, and there's a multitude of people who are in need. We just trust God to answer the needs this morning. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, how great thou art. God, what an opportunity to recognize who you are, God. God, to know that we can sing with all of our hearts that you are God. God, when I think that your son not sparing, send him to die as cares and take it in. That on the cross, God, he gladly bore my sin and shame. God, we have come in your presence. It's not always easy, God, for us to sing with songs that we're unfamiliar with or tunes that don't play the way we're normally used to. And God, we just want to worship you. And I know, Father, sometimes it's not easy in our minds, our hearts are maybe not always in tune, but God, I just pray that it's more about the words, more about the opportunity to worship you. Because you're the real reason we're here, God. And sometimes I know, God, it's not easy. It's hard to find the sources that we need to do all the things. And maybe they're just not setting a tone for us right this morning. But I pray that you set the tone today. To inhabit our hearts and our minds. That, Father, you free us from the challenges that we've faced. You free us from the difficulties. And know, God, that whatever this week has brought to us, whether it's a swollen ankle or a headache or not feeling well, maybe it's aches and pains from treatments, maybe it's just loneliness, God, in isolation. God, I just praise you today. Many of us are out and about. Some are sick, some are away, some are shut in, some are working today, God. I just pray that whatever we're doing, God, we would pause for just a moment to thank you, God. To thank you for who you are and what you are doing, not only in this church, but in the life of the Church of God as a whole, God. You are doing some great things, not only in our state level, but our national level. And it's good, God, that we can hear about the wonders and amazement of a God who is still at work. whether the economy wants to tell us it's not happening, whether we have candidates who tell us you can't believe in God, we're still thanking you that you're alive and well in this country, in this state, and in this church. And God, we just pause for a moment to just let our hearts be at peace with you. God, we pray that you will touch us in a mighty way. That God, you would just open us up, that you would know my heart, my spirit, and my life. God, Wednesday I was able to celebrate with the group my birthday. And yeah, they put on the cake 46, so I'm sticking to it. God, I thank you for an opportunity to continue to worship you. God, to know that I have three other pastor friends around me that I can celebrate with. And I pray for them as I know they pray for me. We pray, God, that we'll together work to bring about change. Change not only in our state, in our country, but change that people will come to know God in a rich and rewarding way. I pray that you'll bless the church today. That is us, God. God, that you'll put your hand upon us, that you'll anoint us. And that, God, whatever need we bring before you, whatever desire that we have, you know what it is. And that you would touch it. When our knees are hurting, and when our ankles are swollen, and when our mind is encompassed by the cares of this world, and whether we're coughing or not feeling well, whether work has brought anxiety, I pray that you'll breathe the Prince of Peace as you are. Father, the scripture this morning we're going to look at says that I can't have peace unless I know the Prince of Peace. Let us know you today, God. Come in and inhabit us. God, I pray for my friends in Kenya, Pastor Saleem and the churches there. I pray for my friends in Tennessee and South Carolina. I pray for the friends in this church and all across this great state. I pray, God, that you'll touch us in a wonderful way this morning. That God, as we approach election time, God will give us wisdom. Wisdom to discern what is good and wrong and bad. That you will touch us, Father, to make wise choices. That, Father, we wouldn't listen to all the things around us, but we would search and know the truth. No different than we search the scriptures. But, Father, have your way in this country. Florida's reeling. North Carolina, Tennessee, a lot of places are still trying to pick up the pieces. Not understanding what they have invested so much in is now gone. God, can we be reminded that those are material things that are here today and gone tomorrow? Yet, God, we put so much trust in them. God, remind us that we still have you. And I pray that you would shine through all of the difficulties, all of the challenges, that out of it, God, you would be God. And when we don't understand, Father, can we do just that? Praise you, God. Praise you because we are infinitely and wonderfully made. Father, in the next few moments, we're going to break the bread of life. We're going to open up the scriptures and ask that you just touch it to us. Open our hearts and minds to receive it. And let us, Father, hear what you have to say, not only now, but in the coming days. But God, I pray that you will heal this land. Father, bring our churches together. Give us a passion for you, God. Give us a desire to serve you with all of our heart. And Father, when we face those challenges during the week where things just don't seem to go the way they want, when the roof leaks and the faucets drip, Father, remind us that we're thankful that we can do the things we do. God, let those minor nuances become stepping stones that will continue to worship you. Bless us today, God, with the true word. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. And God, if someone is in need today that I've missed, I've forgotten, or haven't mentioned, God, I pray that you'll touch them in a wonderful way. Give physical and spiritual healing as only you can do, God. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. for this time. You're holding me in my heart. Amen. So we're opening up a passage in the New Testament. We're looking at a little text in Hebrews. The guy who makes the coffee. We don't know who the author is. We're going to find out some interesting things that he has to say. Go ahead and pull up that title. I really have to ask the question, is God living and active in your life? You might say, yeah. How do I know? How do you know? Am I allowing God to penetrate the very depths of my life? Do I have a great high priest that I can boldly go to? I can be confident in this present age. That becomes the real question as we engage this text. You're able to stand with me. Let's stand together as we look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Will be up on the screen for you, or you can open your scriptures there, Hebrews all the way towards the back. And we'll look at chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Where the writer of Hebrews says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit." Got to correct that, my wife. There's an I missing. I didn't review it, so my bad. Joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of hearts. I just want to make sure that what we say is correct. Okay? Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, He says, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. May God add a blessing to the reading of this word. You can be seated. Occasionally I will join you, so please, I apologize for that. As we engage this text, notice that the author explores the idea in the beginning of chapter 4. This idea of Sabbath rest for the people of God. And he says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest is still open, let us take care that none of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Let's see what they're talking about. While the promise of entering rest is still open, let's take care to make sure that none of us have failed to reach it. We can paraphrase that thought in this way. God makes it possible for us to enter rest. Sometimes we like that rest that he offers more than others. You know, there's nothing better than a good little nap on a rainy day on a Sunday afternoon. Not at 11 o'clock in the morning, by the way. Just going to remind you, not at 11 o'clock in the morning. You didn't get out of bed this morning to have donuts and coffee and come in and take a little snooze while pastor's preaching. But when you get home this afternoon, after a good hearty lunch, you may say to yourself, you know, that sounds really good. A nice little nap. And you never know, sometimes 15 minutes turns into a half an hour, sometimes an hour. Sometimes you sleep too long and then you won't sleep at night. I'm just reminding you, see, a little rest is good, just not right now. If we keep our faith, this exhortation tells us that we will enter that rest. God's rest is available to us. It remains open for all of us to enter it. The offer is still open and made even more clear and compelling through what he calls Jesus Christ. The Israelites at the time of Moses, who were formerly received the good news, failed to enter because of their disobedience. Something separated them from that wonderful rest they had. The author again draws a practical conclusion. Let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest. We need rest. Jesus offers us rest. If you hear this word, trust in it and enter in his rest. But remember, the author tells us that if you're going to enter rest, then we need to consider verse 14. He said, therefore, because of that rest, we have a great Christ, high priest, who has entered heaven. And he tells us in verse 12, because of that, the Word of God is alive and active. And thus, is God living and active? Becomes the first question. Annie Dillard writes in her book, Teaching a Stone to Talk, about the dangers of meeting God in church. Are there really dangers of meeting God in church? You might say, well, what do you mean? She said she compares worship to children playing on the floor with a chemistry set. Now, I did that when I was a kid. Used to love the chemistry sets and getting into high school and biology and chemistry and making our little concoctions and being very careful with our goggles and face mask. But she says it's like mixing up a batch of TNT on a Sunday morning. She says it's madness that ladies wear straw hats and velvets at church. Dillard says we should all be wearing crash helmets. Interesting thought, isn't it? Ushers should issue light preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our seats. For the sleeping God may wake and someday take offense. Or the waiting God may draw us out where we can never return again. What mental image she gives us of the God who awakens and begins to work in the lives of people. Now, how many of you saw the one gentleman in Florida who was taking action for Hurricane Milton? If you saw the text, he had tie-down straps. And I think he had four or six of them. He had them thrown across his house. Literally these huge, nice, wide tie-down straps that he had thrown from one end to the other and anchored into the ground. Now, what he thought, if a tree could be picked up out of the ground and pulled and toppled over that's 30 to 40 years old or maybe even 100 years old, what he thought those tie-down straps were going to do, God only knows. But he tied down this house. He figured, I'm going to do everything in my power to keep this house from being moved. And that's the mental image that Annie Dillard faces for us this morning. When you come into church, do you have your crash helmet on? Your elbow pads? Your knee pads? Do you have all the protection around you because God's about ready to move? And the vision that she gives for us is that if God wakes up from his slumber and begins to take a hold of the people of God, and this is where I get a little bit excited. Well, if you're not ready for that, turn down your hearing aids. But this is where God gets a little excited, and God begins to awaken the lives of people, and the scripture tells us here that God is living and active. And when a God becomes living and active, God is capable of moving us and literally picking us up from the seat we sit in and moving us to somewhere else. God is capable of penetrating the very joints and marrow, the souls and intentions of man. And God is capable of changing the life of people from where we were to where we're at today. And God is capable of healing that sick person. God is capable of restoring that life that has been lost. God is capable of opening the eyes, opening the ears. God is capable of opening the mouth. God is able to do great and mighty things, and it can be like a bumper pull. When God begins to move and the Holy Spirit begins to open up and the people of God are receptive to what God is able to do, It is a fire that begins, and we call it a Pentecost fire. When God begins to dwell from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head, and you begin to feel the power of God moving in your life, you cannot sit still. You cannot hold back the power of what God is capable of doing and the resurrection force that God is able to move. It is called in the scripture a dynamite, a dunamis, a power that is beyond human understanding. It is a power that can build it and tear down. It is a God that will lift up. It is a God that will redeem. It is a God that has an empty cross. It is a God that moves the soul. Is it a God who will return one day and split the heavens open and return to bring us to a place where we will find the power of God forever? Is that may be true very soon. You know, I remember as a little kid, I was in fifth grade, and my parents made the wise decision. They thought it was wise to go out and buy me a fishing knife. I didn't know anything about it. It was this long blade. Boy, the thing was bigger than I can imagine. And I sat out one day just taking my little time, and I had a little stone, and I was just working that thing. You know, because in those days, when you could peel the hair off your skin, or, you know, you could rub it on a piece of paper and it just splits that paper, you know, you got a good shutter. Well, I was just working that thing as best I could. Got this long-bladed knife all set. I still have it to this day, mind you. So I began to get this knife all set. So I'm sitting in the garage one day. Now we have a detached garage. We have a little branch. And I began to think, well, you know, here I am, a little kid. I'm whittling away with this knife. I'm doing all kinds of things and just taking the stick and it's trimming the wood off like nobody's business. Well, I had this wise idea. I didn't know. I had this thing sharper than I didn't know what. So I decided I got a little nub on the end of that stick that I couldn't get off. And I'm trying to do it this way. Well, it wasn't coming off. So wise Mr. Little Jim at about 12 years old decided I'm going to go backwards with the knife. Needless do I need to tell you, what do you think the results were? It's not good. That nub on that little branch or whatever I was whittling that day just had the force and got stuck, and I went poof. And pretty soon I had blood pouring down my hand. Now, I was pretty smart at that day because I knew if I told Mom, there went the knife and there went my behind. So I thought I was smart enough. I went inside. I had cut my finger from the knuckle here, all the way down to here, all the way to the other side. And I just, you know, it was one of those happy days. It felt so good when it quit hurting. But I got that scar, and I went in the house and did everything I could to get that thing to stop bleeding. You know, I don't want Mom to know that I just cut my finger on a knife that somebody got me for Christmas. See, that's the vision God gives us. In Hebrews chapter 4, suggests that something like that happens when God's people open the Word of God. Has God ever opened up your knife and sliced through a heart and soul? And just one slip, the knife went whack, right through my finger. Is that how God's Word is? Does it expose the very hidden things in our life? Does it slice through what we assume has been kept covered? Even those who proclaim Hebrews chapter 4 know what it's like to go to church. You're hoping for a quiet hour. You're hoping that I can just snuggle up and sing a couple of my favorite songs and just hunker in for a good hour, and then when I'm all done, get me a nice cup of coffee and I can settle back and have a couple of donut holes and my favorite little donut that we make sure we have in the back, and you know, I can just slide through today. And then all of a sudden you've got somebody like me You come into church, and pretty soon I'm talking about the power of God that just begins to rattle the foundation of the building, and a God who begins to shake the very bones in my life, and a God who begins to move in the very depths of my soul and spirit. And now I'm talking about this slicing through the joints and marrows to their soul, the suke of our life, and begins to divide it and begins to put power into my life. And you got a guy like me who begins to talk about that. And pretty soon, that little slumbering and sleep that you thought you were going to have, you're like, whoa! God begins to expose the very depths of our life. And it leaves us in a place to go, what do I do now? Am I helpless? Am I defenseless? Has God serrated His Word? Do I need to have a desire to serve Him? Will I go and bring forth the multitudes? Will I give it unto the Lord? Will I be anointed for His healing and power and grab hold of the reins of His hands? You see, we have this mental image of Scripture that doesn't always match what happens in the Word of God. Because I can only imagine standing on the sidelines when God begins to rake open the Dead Sea and begin to see it parted, that Red Sea. I can't imagine when Joshua stepped in the water and watched it begin to move. I can't imagine Daniel when the lion is coming and he sits down next to you and has a little lunch with you. I can't imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the furnace and Nebuchadnezzar lights it up even hotter, so hot that the people that put you in there die from it. I can't imagine. You don't even come out smelling like a sin. I can only imagine when Jesus went up onto the mountainside and the multitudes gathered and the Holy Spirit descended and God began to speak. They began to shake the foundation of the mountain and they left on their right as a ghost like they had just seen the power of God. Here we have this idea that we were sitting talking about the hand of God, this razor sharp God who begins to divide the joints and marrows and penetrates my life. If God is active and living, it should not come to a surprise to us. It should not be shocking that God has opened up. If my parents were smart enough, you think they noticed the bloody bandages around the house? You think they were smart enough to realize somebody got hurt here? You can only hide it for so long that I got this big bandage across my finger like this trying to keep it from bleeding. It's only for just a moment that you cannot begin to recognize God's moving in your life. When the Holy Spirit begins to flow down you and the hair on the back of your arm begins to stand up and the power of God begins to open your mind and the power of God begins to display itself and opens your heart and your life and you begin to speak things, you go, whoa, where did that come from? And God begins to actively move in your life. We cannot hide. We become adopted sons and daughters. We become the Word of God living and active. And we become the lethal blade of God's Word to bear the sin of this world and be called to bring redemption. What an idea. Word of God being active. Well, if God's living and active in your life, then I guess I've got to ask the question, what penetrates your life? The metaphor of God's Word is this sword by no means is unique to this passage. But what gets you going today? What penetrates you in your life? What really gets you motivated? A good theological debate? What gets you motivated? Is it a good political debate? We've got plenty of those today. You're not happy, look around. You got lots to debate about. You got lots to talk about. Is that what gets you pumping? Is it a good song? Is it a good understanding of the meditation of God's Word? Is it a great musical? Do you get motivated by this book that you just cannot put down? Is it a gospel song? Many of you talk about, oh, we love the good old-fashioned gospel song. Me too. But what gets you motivated? What searches your heart? What penetrates your life? What gives you the images of God just desperately longing in your life, the depths of your soul? What totally allows the Holy Spirit to touch the very core of yourself? And what gives you rest? The scripture has two things that he talks about here. Psuche and the pneumatos. Psuche is the soul, and the pneumatos is your spirit. And in this text, it's said that the Word of God penetrates not only your soul, but your spirit. The soul is that physical life force. That spirit is that breath in you. What penetrates your life? And here we're talking about the Greek translation in this text is not just a dividing, where he says the joints, it says sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit. That's not what he's talking about. The scriptures, didokamai, which means that it's not only dividing it, but it penetrates and pierces the soul and spirit of the person. It has a much stronger translation here. That God not only wants to invest in your life, he wants to penetrate and he wants to be active with the Holy Spirit and the power of your life. What penetrates your life? You know, there are sometimes I don't like quiet. My wife's going away for a few days. I'll be busy doing whatever I can. She knows. I hate being alone in the house. Don't like being by myself. I'll be active with music and doing stuff. I may even come over to the church and just sit. Pop my foot up and do whatever. Being alone doesn't invigorate me. Some of you may say, yeah, I'm good with it. I'd rather have a quiet house, a fireplace, a good glass of wine, and a book to read, and God just opens up and penetrates my life. There are sometimes, I find there are times I can come into the church, and over the 20 years, I just love to lay right here at the altar. I love to kneel at the altar. I love to just be in God's presence and just let God pour into my life. I can see myself. I can see the surroundings. And God begins to just penetrate my life. You know, we have to get to a place to where God is open to move in your life. There are too many things that separate us from him. So not only is God piercing, he wants to penetrate your life. And then he gives us this whole idea that you've got a high priest. What does he mean? Well, here the importance of this living and active high priest is that we have one called Jesus. Notice in the scriptures that they needed a high priest. They were looking for that. The temple demanded a high priest to go in and make substitution for the people. They knew that. That was a familiar term with them. They understood the power of what that high priest could do. They wanted one. They needed an offering which was without sin, which was a perfect sacrifice, someone who could enter what they called the Holy of Holies. To them, that was what they knew. That Moore even writes this word. As long as we live, our self-absorption and our insecurity will walk together, holding hands and swinging back and forth like two little girls on their way to pretend playground they can never find. Human nature dictates that most often we will be insecure as we are self-absorbed. The best way possible to get from sucked into superficial narcissistic mentality that money and possessions and sensuality can satisfy is to secure us, is to deliberately give ourselves to something much greater, she calls Christ. Who showed us that giving rather than getting is the means to receive. To find yourself, your true self, you must lose yourself in something much larger. To find our true self today, we must trust the one who has done it all before, who has been through all things, who offers hope, redemption to all of us. Is God living and active? And if he is, what penetrates your life? What gets you going? What is God wanting to do in your life? And if so, is it through the high priest we call Jesus? And finally, I leave you this idea. Boldly in confidence. I can only imagine Tarek Skubal on the mound. I wonder what he was thinking when he threw that pitch, hit that first player, and the score went 1-1. I can only imagine the bases loaded. He still stood on the mound, confident that he was going to strike him out. He was confident that it was going to work the way he knew it was supposed to work, and that the way it always worked before. And I can imagine every one of those players coming up to the plate, knowing that the odds were against them, 1% chance that they would even make it this far, and they made it that far. I can only imagine that it's fourth down in the Lions game today against Dallas. 3 yards to go, and they need that fourth down play in order to get a first down to be able to get close enough to either kick a field goal or to win the game. I can only imagine that confidence of the team to say, we're going to press forward. I can only imagine the confidence of the Red Wings knowing that we need to win the national championships or to win and get in the playoffs, and they're playing with every heart and soul and the intentions of confidence to know that we can do this. I can only imagine God's people gathered together with the fields are ripe to harvest. The laborers are few going, God, how are we going to do this? That every test and every challenge, every stroke, everything that we have done says, you cannot do this. And we stand before the multitudes going, it is only by the power of God that we are able to meet every test, every challenge, whether or not. God must be living and active on your side no matter what the world believes. God believes that you matter. And that to live boldly and confident is to know that the odds might be against you, but God is not. And when he pierces and divides the very joints and marrows of your life, then you are laid bare before him. And maybe you'll give an account, but the true thing is then approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. What is he trying to say? He's trying to say because of our high priest Jesus, we don't have to worry about it. God's already done the work for us. All we have to do is, as Mark said this morning, follow him. That's the call today. Are you willing to let him be active and stable in your life? Are you letting him penetrate your life? Do you know that you have a high priest? If so, then we can walk out of here today confident and bold to know that he is our living hope. Well, I wanted to play Phil Buchan's song, Living Hope, but guess what? Technology wouldn't allow me to do it. So I hope this song does justice to the closer here.
Yeah.
shine through the shadows. We'll win every battle. We'll fight with our hands lifted high and our knees down. That God will give us victory today. Father, I just pray that Almighty God, You are our fortress. Go before us, God. Give us victory today. Father, penetrate our life. Set us on fire. And we'll thank You and praise You. In Your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome day.